We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world, for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
Fortunate are we to be co-inhabitants with the amazing animals that grace and color our planet.
In countless ways, they add beauty and joy to our lives.
Their nobility, through unconditional love, loyalty, and heroic life-saving actions, is a constant source of wonder and inspiration.
What would our world be like without our fun and intelligent animal friends?
We simply could not imagine it.
Thanks be to the Providence for all the cherished animals.
May we always honor their God-given precious lives
as we honor a part of ourselves.
Hello, heroic viewers, and welcome to Noteworthy News, constructive news for a better world.
Constructive news for a peaceful world. For satellite coverage 24 hours a day and 7 days a week, please join us in Europe. Eurobird 1 at 28.5 degrees east, Aft 1 and Hotbird 6. In England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland, Sky TV, Channel 835. Australia and New Zealand, Optus D2, Africa, Intelsat 10 Ku-band and Intelsat 10 C-band. The Middle East and Northern Africa, Eurobird 2 and Hotbird 6. Asia, Intelsat 10 C-band, AVS, AsiaSat 5 and AsiaSat 3S. North America, Galaxy 19, Central and South America, Hispasat 1C and Intelsat 805.
In addition, Supreme Master Television is available on the following 93 cable and IPTV networks, as well as 18 online video channels of live streaming and on-demand programs.
In Cameroon, in Bamenda, Channel 26 on Cameroon Cable Network Plus. In Limbe and Environ, Channel 40 on CietSat. In Douala, Channel 56 on Vision Cable TV. In Buea, Channel 57 on Medium Network Service or MNS. In Kumba, Channel 23 on Siet Kumba. In Bafut, Channel 1 on Basakan Bafut. In Bafusam, Channel 30 on Blondel Sat. And in Adea, Channel 37 on Etablissement Acerna.
In Brazil, in Sao Gonçalo, Rio de Janeiro, Channel 37 on TV Costa Verde. In Chile, in Santiago, Channel 33 on Puente Alto TV and Channel 6 on Quilicura TV. In Provincia de Cordillera, Channel 35 on Provincia de Cordillera TV. And in Provincia de Linares, Channel 2 on Retiro TV.
In Colombia, in Guarenda Sucre, Channel 28 on Guarenda TV. In Guachetá, Cundinamarca, Channel 33 on Guachetá TV. In Ubaté, Cundinamarca, Channel 38 on Cableva TV.
In Bogotá, in Villa Mayor, in Aledaños, Channel 44 on Villa Vision de Villa Mayor. In Ciudadela, Ciudad Tunal, Channel 31 on Aso Parabórica, Tunal Cable Company. In Localidad Encantiva, Upaceta, Boyaca Real, Las Ferias, and Santa Cecilia, Channel 43 on Tele Boyaca Real Cable Company. In Channel 62 on Tele Morisco Cable Company. In Candelaria, Nanueva, San Francisco, and Arborizadora, Channel 46 on TV Candelaria Cable Company. In Localidad 9, Chapinero Kilometro 5.5 La Calera, Channel 51 on Cima TV Cable Company. In Localidad Fontibón and Localidad Barrios Unidos, Channel 41 on Teleunidos. In Kennedy, Channel 55 on Litemar. In Zona 10, Channel 52 on Tele 10. In Nuevo Kennedy, 1, 2, and 3, Paraíso Casablanca, 32 and 33, Urbanización, 25, 26, and 27, Channel 43 on Pacanuc. In Zona 10, Encantiva, 10 Barrios, Channel 29 on Tele Reliquia. In Ciudad Bolívar, Channel 73 on ATV La Estancia. In Alamos Norte, Channel 68 on TV Alamos. In Achí Bolívar, Channel 29 on Achí TV. In Mahahual Sucre, Channel 32 on Mahahual TV. And in Sucre, Channel 31 on Sucre TV.
In Costa Rica, in Tilarán, Nuevo Arenal and La Fortuna de San Carlos, Channel 20 on Cable Arenal del Lago S.A. In Puriscal, Mora and Acosta, Channel 78 on Cablevisión de Occidente. And in Puerto Jimenez, Channel 35 on Cable Corcovado.
In the Dominican Republic, in Tereo El Rio and Las Palmas, Channel 81 on División Visión. In Constanza, Channel 81 on Telecable Mi Cabaña. In Provincia María Trinidad Sánchez, Channel 85 on TDN. In Distrito Nacional and Provincia Santo Domingo, Channel 88 Analog System and Channel 288 Digital System on Éxito Visión. In Las Matas de Farfán, Channel 31 on Matos Aguas Vivas Televisión. And in Santo Domingo Norte, Distrito Nacional, and Santo Domingo Oeste, Channel 46 on Telecable Dominicano. In Provincia de Higüey, Channel 30 on TV Arcoiris. In Sabana de la Mar, Channel 72 on Jorotel. In Monte Plata Province, Channel 25 on Cablevisión Yamasá. In San Cristobal Province, Channel 75 on Crispel Cablevisión. And in Puerto Plata Province, Channel 29 on Telecable La Unión S.A.
In Paraguay, in Bayemi, Channel 24 on Video Cable. In Encarnación, Channel 3 on Itaqua Cablevisión. In Santa Rosa del Aguaray, Channel 21 on Cablevisión. In Chore, Channel 27 on Chore Video Cable. In Santaní, Channel 30 on Tapiracuay Cable Company. In Asunción, Channel 70 on TIT Cable TV. In Mingaguazú, Channel 44 on TV Cable Mingaguazú. In Hernandarias, Channel 41 on TV Cable Hernandarias. And in Ciudad del Este, Channel 66 on TV Cable Paraná.
In Formosa or Taiwan, on Channel 85 on Multimedia On Demand of Zhonghua Telecom. On Green Island, Channel 61 on Huanyu Cable. In Taipei City, Channel 112 on NetWave Cable TV. In Taipei County, Channel 95 on Mangrove Cable TV, Yongjiale Cable TV, and Global View Cable TV. In Kaohsiung County, Channel 95 on Phoenix Cable TV. In Yilan County, Channel 95 on Union Cable TV. In Hualien County, Channel 106 on Dongya Cable TV and Hualien Cable TV. In Penghu County, Channel 03 on Penghu Cable TV. In Jingmen County, Channel 102 on Mingcheng Cable TV. In Taitung County, Channel 106 on Dongtai Cable TV. In Jiayi County, Channel 97 on Guosheng Cable TV. And in Bozu City, Channel 90 on Dayang Cable TV. In Jiayi City, Channel 97 on CYC CATV Cable Company. In Yunlin County, Channel 108 on Jialian Cable TV. And Channel 108 on Peigang Cable TV. In Tainan County, Channel 106 on Xingyuan Cable TV. And in Nantou County, Channel 108 on Zhongtou Cable TV.
In Mongolia, in Hoft Province, Channel 21 on Han Alte Cable TV. In Ermenet City, Channel 26 on Elhat Tengger Cable TV. And Channel 50 on Himor Cable TV. In Sukhbatar Zeleng Province, Channel 30 on Mini Mongol. In Darkhan Ul Province, Channel 8 on Darkhan Broadcasting System. And Channel 44 on Elhat Cable Company. In the capital city of Ulaanbaatar, Channel 47 on Supervision, Channel 65 on Orange Cable Company, Channel 12 on MNBC Television, or Mongolian Digital Broadcasting. And in Bayanzorg and Hanul District, Channel 25 on Himor Cable TV. In Khotor on Channel 21 through the cable provider Gunnarin. In Undurhan City in Henti Province, Channel 23 on Samburt Company. And in Senchan City in Dorongob Province, Channel 25 on Sun Power Company.
In Thailand, in Ratchaburi Province, Channel 71 on Ratchaburi Cable TV. In Germany, in parts of Schleswig-Holstein and Hamburg, on Vinamtel. And in Hamburg, on Vilitel, using channel search for Supreme Master TV. In the Netherlands, in Gouda and the surrounding area, Channel 30 on Recam Cable Network. And in Slovenia, Channel 73 on T2 Slovenia.
Supreme Master Television is also accessible online at www.suprememastertv.com with high-quality video and streaming audio broadcast, as well as live mobile TV streaming on Windows smartphones, iPhones, and Android smartphones. We have subtitles for all shows. Currently, up to 42 languages are available. For your special language, please visit suprememastertv.com/subtitles.
In today's news, a radio program in Afghanistan builds a bridge between the government and citizens. In ecology news, a Welsh environmentalist is dedicated to overcoming deforestation in Uganda. In cultural news, a theater festival is held in Nepal to raise awareness of youngsters' rights. Please stay tuned for all this and more on Supreme Master Television, your constructive global TV channel.
Today, March 24th, distinguished American lyricist and poet Miss Frances Jane Crosby was born in 1820 in New York. She wrote more than 8,000 Christian hymns during her life and is famous for Safe in the Arms of Jesus, Blessed Assurance, and The Bright Forever, among others. Blind since she was an infant, Miss Crosby, also known as Fanny, devoted her life to serving those most in need, giving from what she earned writing hymns. When asked about her blindness, she said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should be born blind? Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." May the lovely verses of Miss Frances Jane Crosby continue to uplift many as they praise the divine.
Fly-in news. Supreme Master Qinghai International Association relief news update from Japan. Nearly 2 weeks after the world's fourth largest ever earthquake and enormous tsunami on March 11th, Japan's northeastern region continues to be rocked by aftershocks. The official toll of dead and missing rose to over 25,000 on Wednesday, March 23rd.
With more than 14,700 buildings demolished, many survivors who had been rendered homeless are now staying in their cars to escape overcrowded shelters, where over 260,000 people were still taking refuge as of Tuesday evening. With aid distribution slowed due to fuel shortages as well as debris and destroyed roads, many still lack food, water, medical care, and other essential needs.
My family is mother and sister and me. But my mother lost.
Your mother is lost.
Having followed the situation with sorrowful concern since the initial disaster impact, Supreme Master Qinghai has donated $80,000, sending her love and prayers. She also asked that our association members, including doctors and nurses, go help the victims, including bringing urgent necessities such as medicine, especially to the elderly and young. With contributions from our international association members, the donation now totals more than $110,000.
Immediately after the disaster, our association members began working in several teams to render aid to Japan. A team in South Korea has already prepared 4,500 relief kits, including clothes, stockings, undergarments, diapers, and other necessities. These were shipped to Tokyo for our association members there to distribute immediately upon arrival. In Japan, a relief team comprising of our association members from Japan and Formosa, or Taiwan, divided into groups. As telecommunications were still down, one group traveled to Miyagi Prefecture to assess the situation and report back to the others staying in Tokyo to prepare the needed items.
どうですか、やっぱ当時の大変だったんです。まだちょっと、一番は、でも住民が不安になってますので、住民の不安や和らげるように、食べ物であったり、そういうのを供給して行き渡るようにですね、することが今一番最優先ではないかなと思ってますけども、下着の数が極端に足りないです。 6,500人が、6,100人が今避難してますけども、その他にも結局ね、お家に避難してる人もいますので、なるべく多くですね、下着をいただければありがたいです。で、なるべく早くいただければありがたいです。私もそうですけども、何卒よろしくお願いいたします。実際にこっちは必要なものをもう、揃い始まってるんです。ありがとうございます。
With information about what was needed, our association members got in touch with the team in Tokyo to bring the supplies as soon as possible.
Meanwhile, as many residents who had left Tokyo following the disaster begin to return home, fears of radiation from the damaged Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant are still high, with affected areas such as tap water, which is still registering radioactive iodine at levels higher than the safe limit for infants.
The Tokyo Metropolitan Government told people to use bottled water when preparing food or drinks for infants, but urged residents not to hoard them and pledged to provide mineral water to about 80,000 households with babies.
On Wednesday, atmospheric radiation levels in many eastern and northern prefectures remained slightly above normal, including Fukushima, as well as Yamagata, Tochigi, Gunma, Saitama, and Tokyo. In Fukushima City, where the highest levels were recorded, health officials stated that 1 hour of exposure to the radiation there would equal 1/100th the radiation received in a single stomach X-ray.
As a precautionary measure, the Japanese government extended a ban on certain leafy vegetables to now include broccoli, cauliflower, and turnips, which are not allowed to be shipped from Fukushima for the time being due to radiation contamination, although officials say they do not pose immediate health risks. Shipments of parsley and raw milk from neighboring Ibaraki were likewise suspended, and consumers were urged not to eat those products. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has meanwhile imposed a temporary ban on imports of dairy products and fresh produce from Fukushima, Gunma, Ibaraki, and Tochigi prefectures.
At the damaged Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant, workers continued risking exposure to high radiation levels as they worked to cool the overheating reactors and prevent a catastrophic radiation leak. On Wednesday, reactor number 3 became the first of the most troubled reactors 1 through 4 to have electricity to have its control room restored and lights switched on, which will allow for more intensive work to curb the crisis. However, operators must limit their stay in the rooms due to high radiation levels and periodic power outages. According to Kyodo News Agency, 2 workers were injured Wednesday while restoring power to reactor number 1, with another setback occurring when its temperature briefly spiked above 400 degrees Celsius, with large amounts of seawater being pumped in to cool it down.
Also on Wednesday, plant workers had to temporarily evacuate when black smoke was seen rising from reactor number 3. Contamination levels were reported to be unusually high before the smoke was seen at the nuclear plant. They later dropped, but were still higher than the past several days.
We are thankful for all the assistance from around the globe to Japan. Our deep gratefulness also for Supreme Master Qinghai's attentive care for the disaster victims, as well as our association relief teams for their selfless endeavors. With sincere sympathies for the precious lives lost, we pray that heaven may grace the Japanese people with faith and resolve as they strive to recover the regularity of daily life, and that such tragedies subside as humanity turns to more benevolent, earth-protective ways.
Supreme Master Qinghai wants to convey this message of gratitude to all governments, organizations, and relief workers from every corner of the world. Thank you, all the international and national help that brings care and necessities to afflicted victims. Thank you, all the relief workers, for taking time and forsaking your own comfort, even traveling great distance on unfavorable roads and conditions to bring love and assistance to people in time of need. May heaven bless you abundantly for your generosity and noble sacrifice.
Citizens, speak out. Many governments across the Arab world have been responding to the legitimate demands of the people for greater rights, respect, democracy, and opportunity following protests in their lands.
Among those countries where such demonstrations are occurring are Bahrain, Bolivia, Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, Croatia, Egypt, Greece, Honduras, India, Libya, Palestine, Saudi Arabia, Syria, United Kingdom, and Yemen.
After several groups urged Jordan's King Abdullah II to lead parliamentary change, encouraging him to follow the lead of Morocco's King Mohammed VI, who recently announced a broad-based reform package, King Abdullah II asked Prime Minister Maarouf Barkhit to enact decisive measures that expose corruption and ensure a more equal justice system. Meanwhile, internet-savvy Tunisian youth who had taken part in the recent peaceful revolution are now supporting national stability by calls through a new Facebook page, I'm Committed to Protecting Tunisia, in which they encourage people to avoid acts of vandalism that contribute to chaos by returning to work and fostering stability. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon recently traveled to meet with Tunisian youth groups, business and political leaders about their goals for the future.
Following a month of protests in Iraq's autonomous region of Kurdistan, nine political parties formed the Peace Campaign, a coalition that agrees to refrain from violence of any kind and also to encourage the public toward the same. Protesters' spokesperson Nask Kader announced that the Kurdish parliament has invited members of their interim council to attend a parliament meeting with the goal of reaching an agreement on terms for cooperation and peace.
Addressing the situation in Syria, European Union Foreign Affairs Chief Catherine Ashton asked that the government refrain from violence against protesters who are calling for more freedom and an end to emergency law, while UN Human Rights Chief Navi Pillay has called for an investigation into recent deaths in the country. Meanwhile, Agence France-Presse, or AFP, reports that at least 15 more people were killed in Daraa when police stormed a camp they had set up in front of a mosque and dispersed the crowd with gunfire.
In Yemen, President Ali Abdullah Saleh warned of a potential civil war as military forces loyal to the government squared off against those protecting the protesters in the capital of Sana'a, while the Arab League spoke out strongly against the government's use of violence towards citizens, with a newly passed emergency law allowing media censorship as well as banning street protests and suspending the nation's constitution. Abdul Razak al-Hajri of Yemen's Reform Party called it illegal, especially as the law's passage was virtually certain due to the ruling party's illegitimate dominance of parliament. Despite the imposition of martial law, however, protesters said they would continue demanding an immediate end to the current regime, as they called for a large march to the presidential palace on Friday.
Because of the rapidly declining security situation, especially with a protest planned on Friday, the British government announced Wednesday the withdrawal of all except a small core of its embassy staff in Sana'a. The British Foreign Office also issued advice against all travel to the country while strongly urging all Britons in Yemen to leave now.
In Bahrain, the UN Human Rights Office has expressed concern over the arrest and harassment of activists and medical professionals, as well as the disappearance of up to 100 people since the violent repression of protesters last week. UN Human Rights spokesperson Rupert Colville called upon the government of Bahrain to abide by international law and ensure that people are not detained without clear evidence they have committed a recognized crime.
With 500,000 Ivorians who have now fled the catastrophe of war since disputed presidential elections in November 2010, the United Nations has appealed for international help as it warns of a humanitarian crisis developing in both Côte d'Ivoire, or Ivory Coast, and neighboring host country Liberia.
Protests for better living and work conditions in Algeria continue, with dozens of teachers on Wednesday demonstrating across the street from the presidential palace for the fourth consecutive day, asking for proper job contracts. Also on Wednesday, in a less fortunate neighborhood of Algiers, police used tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse a crowd of 150, mostly youths, who were trying to halt the government's demolition of homes built without their license. Following a series of retaliatory actions between Israeli security forces and armed groups in Palestinian Gaza, which harmed innocent civilians, Egypt's Foreign Minister Nabil El Arabi warns the Israeli government about the adverse effects to regional stability of continuing such attacks, while also urging various groups in Gaza to avoid any actions that might provoke a retaliatory response.
In Libya, following an appeal by Agence France-Presse, or AFP, Chairman Emmanuel Houg to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, AFP reporter Dave Clark and photographer Roberto Schmidt, as well as Getty Images photographer Joe Radel, were released early Wednesday. British Foreign Secretary William Hague commended the early accomplishments of the no-fly zone and efforts to disable Libyan military capabilities in the interest of protecting citizens, stating that these actions increase the chances the Libyan people have for determining their own future.
He also emphasized it is up to the Libyan people to determine the nation's future government and to decide the fate of current leader Muammar Gaddafi. Meanwhile, Russia reiterated calls for the coalition forces to do more in ensuring citizens are not harmed during airstrikes. Uganda's president Yoweri Museveni furthermore called upon the Western governments not to forget about citizens in countries like Yemen and Bahrain, where legitimate protesters are facing live ammunition gunfire.
On Wednesday, 16 more people were killed in Mosurata as government forces used tanks, heavy artillery, and rooftop snipers. Speaking to Reuters news agency by phone, the city's residents described what they called a massacre as they watched snipers fire at even the city hospital, making it impossible for anyone to get in or out, with doctors retreating to building corridors to treat patients. With sorrow for the cherished lives lost, we pray that the conflicts permanently cease and that heaven may grace the people of all nations with lasting security, dignity, freedom, and peace.
Benin re-elects president. On Monday, March the 21st, the victor of last week's elections was confirmed as incumbent president Dr. Thomas Boni Yayi received 53% of the votes. Elected for the first time in 2006, the term of His Excellency was thus extended for another 5 years. Our respectful congratulations, President Boni Yayi, on your renewed role. May your leadership serve to advance the stability, peace, and prosperity of the loving Beninese people.
Steeply rising prices in the UK outpace real wages. The British Office of National Statistics has announced that several key measures of inflation recently increased faster than economists' estimates. Specifically, during February, the Consumer Price Index, which measures prices of goods and services purchased by households, went up 4.4% since the previous year, to the highest rate in over 2 years. With the main cause of the rise being higher prices for food, fuel, and clothing, Bank of England Governor Mervyn King stated that the net effect, after factoring in other variables, was that citizens' real wages are not keeping pace with rising costs. We appreciate these insights into the financial challenges being faced by people in the UK and reflected throughout the world. May our greater benevolence toward fellow humans and all beings on Earth help ease situations such as these.
New technology diagnoses diabetes a decade in advance. Researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital in the USA have found that five key amino acids can be identified as markers that forecast the likelihood of developing type 2 diabetes up to 12 years ahead of an actual diagnosis. In a study begun in 1991 and carried out with nearly 2,500 people, the scientists found that later diagnoses of type 2 diabetes were linked with elevated levels of these five amino acids. In addition, they found that participants with the highest levels of three of these amino acids were five times more likely to develop the disease. According to lead author Dr. Thomas Wang, such early identification could be immensely useful in giving time for the implementation of preventative measures like dietary intervention to delay or even avoid the onset of type 2 diabetes altogether. Our accolades and appreciation, Dr. Wang and Massachusetts General Hospital Associates, on this promising diagnostic tool. Wishing you much success in sharing such an advancement to help many people maintain vibrant health and well-being.
Five U.S. soldiers are being charged with murder for killing Afghan civilians after German weekly news magazine Der Spiegel released photo evidence with the U.S. Army apologizing for the completely dishonorable nature of such actions and the distress they caused.
Save Our Planet, a recent study involving the toxic algae cyanobacterium, now increasingly more common in lakes due to livestock manure and fertilizer runoff, suggests that its presence is producing estrogen effects in aquatic life that disrupt reproductive functions.
Warning news. A massive meat recall of over 2,000 tons of pork nationwide follows a report by China Central Television about farmers in Hainan Province administering the illegal drug clenbuterol, which is known to be harmful to humans.
I'm Croaky, a joyful vegan frog with a tip to share on helping to support the well-being of your companion dog or cat. You can make sure their food and water dishes are clean frequently. Good hygiene is important to assist our wonderful friends to remain in vibrant health. Thanks so much for being veg, going green to save the planet. Thank you for your attention, and here's the weather around the globe.
In media news, a radio program in Afghanistan builds a bridge between the government and citizens. Liberty and Listeners is a bi-weekly talk show on Radio Free Europe's Radio Azadi. Afghanis can leave messages on the program's two hotline numbers. These may later be aired, along with official and other relevant replies to the issues raised. The host, Mr. Zarif Nazar, stated, "We are providing people with the opportunity to voice their issues and concerns. This enables them to participate more actively in the country's political life." Mr. Nazar also has assisted with urgent situations, including letting local authorities know about a crisis villages were facing due to floods. Kudos, Mr. Zarif Nazar and Radio Azadi, for your positive use of the wonderful media of radio. May the lives of many pure-hearted Afghanis be enhanced through the open dialogue encouraged by your broadcast.
In ecology news, a Welsh environmentalist is dedicated to overcoming deforestation in Uganda. Ms. Sarah Jenkinson has launched the Size of Wales 1 Million Trees Project. More than 1,600 families and 30 villages are taking part in the seeding of 2 million hectares of tropical forest. The people of the area, who are experiencing the effects of climate change, are eager to prevent soil erosion and landslides through the vital presence of trees. Our heartfelt appreciation, Ms. Sarah Jenkinson and the Size of Wales, for your kind assistance to the eco-conscious residents of Uganda. May flourishing verdancy be joined with humanity's adoption of the earth-saving vegan diet for a gentle era of our treasured planet. Coming up, a theater festival in Nepal supports the rights of children. We're going out to enjoy the fresh air. Be right back. More inspiring news when we return on Supreme Master Television.
Welcome back to Noteworthy News, ethical news for a moral world. In cultural news, Nepal holds a theater festival to raise awareness of youngsters' rights. The Soi Lee Theater in Kathmandu, Nepal, welcomed the second annual Children's Theater Festival. It featured a variety of plays to help parents, teachers, and children's rights activists understand some of the challenges youth are facing. Mr. Mahesh Podel, one of the festival organizers, said that the 50 children that acted in the event were from a local orphanage. He furthermore stated that supporting the growth of children's literature culture was another integral part of the festival. Congratulations, Mr. Mahesh Podel, and all others involved in the vibrant Children's Theater Festival. May it bring much delight and long-lasting benefits to God's precious children.
Let's enjoy some humor with a joke told in Arabic entitled, Clever Son.
كان هناك والد يتكلم بفخر لزوجته حول ابنه. ابننا ذكي جدا ولديه دماغ موهوب جدا. لا بد أنني قد مررت له ذلك. نعم، لقد مررت له كل دماغك إلى ابننا، أجابته زوجته بكل برود. لذا الآن أنت بدون دماغ.
And now for our viewers' heartline.
Dear Supreme Master Ching Hai, I'm an Iranian woman. I'm familiar with your interesting programs. Master's speech is very attractive for me and I wish to learn meditation. Please pray for our people to live in peace and happiness. Love, Yossi from Tehran, Iran.
Hi Yossi, it's very good to hear from you. Supreme Master Ching Hai has a reply for you.
Spiritual Yossi, thank you for your sincere message. Our representative will be in touch with you for information about the light and sound meditation. My prayers are always with your beautiful people to live in joy and harmony. May Allah abundantly bless you and the high-minded citizens of Iran. Love, love, Ching Hai.
Do you have a heartline today? We very much appreciate your heartlines and stories from your area. You can send them to heartline@suprememastertv.com, the address on your screen, or visit suprememastertv.com/heartline. Thank you for your company on Noteworthy News.
May you be evermore guided by the love and wisdom of heaven.
The world is full of good news.
The following are just a few.
The National Freeway Bureau of Formosa, or Taiwan, works with local communities to save wildlife like eagles from urban hazards by implementing measures such as turning off the popular lights across the Gaoping River so as not to disturb the eagles' habitat.
Germany's Museum of Islamic Art in Berlin and the Berlin National Library exhibits manuscripts from Persian poet Firdowsi's Shahnameh, or the Book of Kings, along with miniature paintings to introduce Persian masterpieces that date back over 1,000 years.
Culminating a 5-year project, Dr. Kerry Howell of the University of Plymouth in England makes available a first-ever website with videos and images of over 460 deep-sea species intended to both provide information and invite input that will help advance global understanding of remote life beneath the sea.
In Tehran, Iranian Deputy Minister of Industries and Mines Ahmed Kadeh Mohmeleh receives Armenian Ambassador to Iran Grigor Irakelian for a meeting to discuss ways to enhance their country's business relations and bilateral trade.
With the goal of halting a rise in alcohol consumption and its related violence and harm, Scotland's top law officer, Lord Advocate Eilish Angelini, calls on the Parliament to reduce its availability of alcohol by significantly raising the price.
Egyptian Prime Minister Dr. Essam Sharaf meets separately with U.S. Senator John Kerry and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov in Cairo, where they discuss ways of enhancing bilateral relations as well as support of Egypt.
Hollywood actor Charlie Sheen and his friend Oscar-winning Sean Penn, who has been conducting a humanitarian aid project in Haiti, have teamed up for a live show there, with all proceeds to go toward post-quake rebuilding in the country.
Formosa, or Taiwan, begins construction of her first undersea earthquake sensor, a $14.5 million device that is expected to give an average of 10 seconds extra warning time for earthquakes and 10 minutes additional time for tsunami warnings.
Based on a report from a top Swedish government advisor on addiction, proposals to the government are being made for countries to create sobriety centers to receive people who are intoxicated instead of jailing them as inmates, thus also enabling contact with healthcare professionals for help.
Thanks to donations from the Long Pang Golf Club, Olaxese or Vietnamese doctors performed some 1,714 eye surgeries for the less fortunate in the Cambodian districts of Prey Vang, Kampong Tham, and Long Phong Cham.
We thank all the reporters, journalists, photographers, camera persons, individuals, groups, companies, everywhere in the world, for all your contributions of news that bring hope to humans and animals, thus uplifting the atmosphere of our planet. May heaven bless your noble endeavors and protect you always, especially while on duty.
For more details,
please visit www.suprememastertv.com/NWN.